Skip worked on getting his breath back. The monitor beside his bed was beeping in a worried way. A nurse looked in and Skip waved her off. The beeps were settling back to their previous rhythm, so she went. When she was gone, Skip said, "Why did we laugh so hard when he fell down that day?" That question has never entirely left me. "No," I said, "me either." "So what's the answer? Why did we laugh?" "Because we're human. For a while, I think it was between Woodstock and Kent State, we thought we were something else, but we weren't." "We thought we were stardust," Skip said, almost with a straight face. "We thought we were golden," I agreed, laughing, "and we've got to get ourselves back to the garden." "Lean over, hippie boy," Skip said, and I did. I saw that my old friend, who had outfoxed Deary and Ebersole and the Dean of Men, who had gone around and begged his teachers to help him, who had taught me to drink beer by the pitcher and say fuck in a dozen different intonations, was crying a little bit. He reached up his arms to me. They had gotten thin over the years, and now the muscles hung rather than bunched. I bent down and hugged him. "We tried," he said in my ear. "Don't you ever forget that, Pete. We tried." I suppose we did. In her way, Carol tried harder than any of us and paid the highest price, except, that is, for the ones who died. And although we've forgotten the language we spoke in those years, it is as lost as the bell-bottom jeans, home tie-dyed shirts, Nehru jackets, and signs that said, "Killing for peace is like fucking for chastity." Sometimes a word or two comes back. Information, you know. Information. And sometimes, in my dreams and memories, the older I get, the more they seem to be the same. I smell the place where I spoke that language with such easy authority. A whiff of earth, a scent of oranges, and the fading smell of flowers.
This ends Disc 15.